This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
The New Japan Purocast is proudly sponsored by GaijinCollectibles.com, your number one source for Japanese wrestling merchandise shipped straight from Japan to your mailbox. Check out their selection of in-stock merch like t-shirts, action figures, magazines, trading cards, or use their purchasing service to order items from Japanese websites like the New Japan Shop. Like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter, GaijinCollectibles.com. All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. It is Sunday, June 25th, at the time that we are recording this, and Damon, we have got a lot to talk about on today's show. Of course, the G1 Climax 27 roster was released. We're going to go into great detail about that today, but first, Damon, we are fresh off of a very polarizing episode of the Purocast, to say the least.
It really was. Well, the feedback was polarizing indeed. I had that Monday morning of, here's the thing. Again, I listen to these shows every week. I listen to it. Call me a narcissist. Call me what you want. But I do
narcissist.
Listen. Narcissist. And I was in the car and with the missus, and she just looks at me and she goes, "Are you okay?" As the show is going on, I'm like, "Hey, what?" She goes, "I'm listening to this. You look like you sound like you're ready to jump off a bridge." And that's true. And I would be the first to admit, like, it was a little bit of a depressing tone, right? So I get that people kind of want to listen to this and get hyped up and get amped up, and there's a lot of people coming, and they don't want to get they don't want to get shit on. They want to feel like they're going to something that they didn't want. I get all that, and I would be the first to admit, and I admitted it. I was like, it does sound like a Bad Smith's album almost.
We've come to wish you an unhappy birthday.
Right. But with that said, I still think we have valid points, and I can't tell you that I didn't feel that way. Of course I felt that way. That's the way I felt. Sorry. That's what I saw at that time last week. But again, I'm a little bit more positive toward it right now. It is what it is. We're gonna have a blast. There's no two ways about that. I'm so looking forward to this meetup at the where is it at, Colin? Congregation, right?
That's right. Congregation Ale House.
Yeah, that's going to be a good time. They're going to take care of us there. I mailed out the great Gaijin Collectibles. What great people they are. With the gift bags, I mailed them to the hotel this weekend, so they should be there when I arrive on Friday. It's going to be a great time. I'm looking forward to the meetup. That's going to be fun. But yeah, we did. It was polarizing. But you know what? Here's the thing, too. The beginning of the week, we were getting the boots laid to us. Worst show ever.
Yeah, worst show ever.
Yeah. Wow. I was like, God. You thought we were clubbing baby seals on the show or something. I was like, my God. They obviously didn't hear the Gallows Anderson rants of the past.
Well, here's the interesting thing. If you go back and you listen to last week's episode, correct me if I'm wrong, but we said that Ishii versus Naito and Elgin and Omega should be great matches. I believe that's what we said. And
we did.
I think that's a pretty positive statement that I said we're going to see some great matches.
It is, but Colin, it's also not what you say, it's how you say it, right? Colin, if you went back and listened to that show, you'd be like, wow. And this is me talking, right? I'm expecting somebody going to work, you know, they're not looking forward to this commute. And listen, we're not pom-pom people either. You know what I mean? We're not going to sit here and just be pom-poms just to be pom-poms.
Well, that's the thing. Right? I can't be a hype man for something I don't necessarily believe in.
Right, right. And the, you know, we're not getting a paycheck from them to do so. So there was one person that put like, well, listen, New Japan has had such a great year. They deserve a pass. No, they don't. Nobody deserves the pass. If it's good, I'll be the first to fucking praise. But if I think it's the shits, I'm going to tell you, right? But again, the tone, I think, Colin, it was a downer of a show. And we're expecting people to drive to work and listen to – they were to drive off a road. So I get that. We don't want that. Like, it was a really depressing – listen, like my wife who doesn't give a shit either way. She's going to the spa while I'm, you know, she don't care. She was like, what is this? This is a mess. You guys sound like you're ready to hang yourselves. You're Ian Curtis for crying out loud. Joy Division reference there, Colin. It is what it is. But, and that's a valid criticism. We're going to take that and use that constructively, like Kevin Kelly would, like a true gentleman, Kevin Kelly would.
Absolutely. But at the same time, we are never going to bullshit you. We are going to give you our absolute honest assessment of cards, shows,
life.
Yeah, life. That's just how we are. So we're not going to sugarcoat it.
Right. So that's that. That's the elephant in the room. We're coming off. But here's the thing, too. At the end of the week, we have more people that were kind of like, yeah, you know what? I'm kind of in the Damon camp here. You know,
I read a fair share of positive reviews on our Twitter page.
Right. Oh, really? Okay. Oh, that's good. All right. Nice. And listen, but here's the thing. Either way, if you don't agree, or if you're kind of feeling the same way, or you're 100% in the camp of this is not what I paid for, cool. That's what has always been your goal, Colin. Not necessarily mine. Mine's been. Let's talk wrestling with a friend and you record it.
I have some grand visions, grand designs to quote Rush.
Yes. Yes. But again, a goal of the show that you've always had has been the conversation, you know, talk about the product, talk about it. And we're going to talk about the good and the bad. So again, it's the elephant in the room. No joke, Colin Miller. But it was, and it was, listen, nobody likes to hear that it's the worst show ever. You know, nobody wants to hear that, but, you know, people have their opinions. All right.
Yeah, we certainly welcome all of your criticism, both positive and negative. Because
you do. I don't. I won't only praise Colin.
Well, look, this is a listener's podcast, really. The people's podcast.
Yes. Yes. All right, so that's that. That's where we are with that. But once again, Sunday being the worst day to record ever, that's when all the news hits, like Sunday night, Monday morning, right? And we found that with the G1 special – or not the special, the G1 roster announcements, which I think everyone's pretty hyped with. We had a Road to show that we're going to talk about here today, which was – it was a Road to show, right, Colin? There's Road to shows in wrestling, and there's Road to shows in life, right, Colin? As Colin learns, and that was okay. But again, we're all hyped up for the specials coming up next weekend. Next weekend, wow, that went fast, right?
Yeah, next weekend you will be in Long Beach, Damon, meeting up with all of our great listeners and fellow New Japan fans. And truth be told, I'm pretty excited for next weekend. I can't wait to especially see what the production looks like at this Long Beach Convention Center. That's one of the things that I'm most interested in checking out as I watch these shows. And truth be told, there should be a lot of great matches on the card, even the main event, which everyone knows by now we're not too high on. I think that it will be a very good match.
I think it's going to be let's put it this way. Last week, Colin, you gave the old 60% of a title switch. You still feeling 60, or has that lessened a little bit with a lot of these announcements that occurred during the week?
That...
And ramifications of a spoiler alert, if you haven't known, whatever, Cody winning the ROH Heavyweight Championship over the weekend.
That's right. Cody Rhodes, now the holder of arguably the second biggest heavyweight title in North America. Am I still 60-40, Cody? Yep. Yeah, I'd have to say that the answer is yes. I still think that there is a strong chance that he's going to walk out of Long Beach as IWGP Heavyweight Champion. And I also think that during the course of the match, we can expect some Bullet Club shenanigans.
I think you'll see plenty of bullshit. First, I'm less than 30. I don't think they're doing the switch. I don't think they're doing the switch. And here's the thing. One, I think the G1 plays a huge factor in that, right? Cody is not in the G1.
And I don't see that as a spoiler, necessarily.
I think that's a huge thing. Never has an IWGP Heavyweight Champion not been in the G1.
But there is nothing in the rule book that says they have to.
That is correct. Absolutely. I just think it's pretty significant. I don't think it's that. And plus, you have the built-in storyline of, you know, Omega, literally having a performance of a lifetime, going a full 60 minutes with Okada, couldn't get the job done, unfortunately, for him and the Bullet Club. Cody tempting fate, if you will, with the throwing in the towel. You have that whole built-in dynamic. I think Kenny Omega will be involved in this main event in some capacity. And I think that's kind of where that goes. And I think this will end in a Rainmaker, which is kind of surprising in the sense of, you know, ROH allowing it to be done. I think ROH wouldn't have been thrilled with having their world champion do as many jobs as is necessary in a G1, because you know he would probably wind up being somewhere in the middle of the road.
And he was originally supposed to be in the G1.
He said it himself, right? Didn't he say that in that little meet and greet Q&A thing he did in the ring with the Young Bucks a couple months back?
Yeah. He said that he was supposed to be in the G1. But, of course, since he's ROH World Champion, like you said, they're not going to have their world champion taking, you know, a lot of falls. That just doesn't make sense.
Right. But now you think... Again, you're still 60% that he's walking away with a title. I think he's losing.
Here's the thing. This season in New Japan, if you will, the G1 Climax season, you don't need your world champion during that whole tournament. You don't. You don't need to have your world heavyweight champion there because it's the G1 Climax. There's no title matches.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they do use these, you know, using the IWGP champion and all the champions, as a matter of fact, to help set up future programs.
Well, unless you're Ishii.
Good point. It is used as a springboard for that.
He beat the shit out of Okada and got nothing for it.
I know. We're still waiting for that rematch. And again, it is a thorn in our side. Another Smith reference. A lot of Smith's references. I'm very happy today with this.
It's an unhappy podcast. Just kidding.
No, actually, we're in good spirits today, right?
I'm in a stellar mood, Damon.
You are. You were a little surly when you hit that record button. Colin was not in the best of moods. I got him worked up.
Yeah, he struck a nerve.
I struck a nerve a little bit, but he's for the better. It's for the better.
I think so.
It's for the better. He's got a new attitude.
And it's black T-shirt, Colin.
Black T-shirt, Colin. It's his. We won't get into it, but we'll just say Colin's going to take a new attitude of, you know what? Some of these nights out, they're just road two shows, and we'll leave it at that. All right. So where were we, Colin, as we got off the road here?
Yeah. So we were talking about Cody's chances.
Yeah.
Walking out of this match as IWGP Heavyweight Champion. I'm still not ruling it out completely. I think that there is, like I said, there's going to be some Bullet Club shenanigans, but, you know, it's interesting that you said that Kenny Omega is probably going to be involved. Do you potentially see Omega screwing Cody out of his chance to set up a feud between those two?
I kind of do, just to kill some time. I think everybody knows and feels and wants and desires round three, right?
And I think that's going to happen during this year, before the end of the year.
I think that is I would bet the house on that. So with that said, we still have 6 months before we get into dome season. We got a lot of shows that we have to get through. So I think somewhere in there, somewhere, we're going to see Omega Okada 3, but we do have time. So I think we can have this little blow-off Bullet Club, you know, maybe a changing of the guard, so to speak, with Cody and Kenny and probably the Bucks involved somewhere as well. Again, I think they're the stars of the show. Yeah, I think so. I think that's where we're going. I think that's where we're going. And truth be told, you know, they're bringing in all the NJPW stars, Colin. I don't know if you know that for these shows. Yes. But the good news is there's plenty of them that will be there. But also for the majority of the audience, kid you not, it's the Bullet Club that's going to be getting a lot of the response.
Do you think there's going to be any Bullet Club shirts in Long Beach?
I think maybe one or two. I think we'll probably see one or two, maybe, okay. You know, probably.
You should wear your Taguchi Japan t-shirt.
I don't own one.
Well, you should get one.
Where should I get one, Colin?
Well, I know a place. GaijinCollectibles.com. Your number one source for all Japanese wrestling merchandise shipped straight to your door from Japan.
Good people at Gaijin Collectibles doing a little early, are we? All right. So Gaijin, we know the deal, right? Guys, come on. Get with it. If you're going to get your Puro merch, and you know you want it, you know you want that Taguchi t-shirt, Taguchi Japan. I have a friend who just had placed an order, got himself one of those towels, matter of fact. Of course, it's Gaijin Collectibles. Great customer service. What great people they are over there at Gaijin. Fast, speedy. They'll answer your questions in a timely manner. If there's a problem, they'll work it out. Look. And there never is. I've never heard one complaint. So GaijinCollectibles.com, they're helping us with the meetup at the – I keep mispronouncing the name. It's Congregation, is it?
Congregation Ale House.
Sorry, there it is. In Long Beach, they're helping us with the meetup there with the gift bags. Guys, look, check them out. Give them your business. They're well worth it. You help them, you help us. They're good people at Gaijin. Collectibles.com.
All right, very good. So getting back to this Long Beach show, has your opinion on the U.S. heavyweight title tournament changed? Because here's the thing, putting this title on Kenny Omega would give it instant credibility, especially if they were to do a Naito Omega G1 Climax rematch on the second night of this Long Beach show. I mean, in a perfect world, that would be the match to do. And again, Omega would be the guy to put that title on to elevate it to the very top right away. However, we had said last week, we don't necessarily think that that is a lock either. I think that we were going with Elgin being the first IWGP U.S. title holder.
Yeah. I mean, in a perfect world, in an ideal situation, having Omega and Naito go at it on night two would be really great. I mean, I can't think of a better scenario. Is the likelihood of that happening high? No, it's probably not, right? I think we can – again, do we want it? Yes. Do you think the likelihood of that happening? I don't know. But again, I think that, you know, you look at these shows and it is about Kenny Omega and it is about the Bullet Club. And, you know, if anybody's going to advance and get the buzz, it's him. But I don't know. I just don't see him being the U.S., the IWGP U.S. champion. And again, it's not a knock on the – it is what it is. I just don't see that.
But the title would have instant credibility on him. But if they're doing Omega Okada 3 before the end of the year, are we going to have Kenny Omega as the U.S. champion going up against Okada, the heavyweight champion? And that's part of the reason why I don't necessarily think it's a lock that it's Omega winning this title.
Yeah, I'm hard pressed to think that's the direction they're going to go. I still, in my heart of hearts, think that we're on our way to a Okada Naito Dome. I really think that's where we're going. Right?
That's what I feel in my gut as well. I don't know how we're going to get there necessarily just yet, but I think that's where we're ultimately headed.
Right. I feel the same way too. But in the meantime, you know, we've got a G1 we got to get through. We've got these Long Beach shows we got to get to. And then we also have, you know, we have quite a few other shows that we have to get through as well. So it's not like, you know, we're hopping right from G1 right to the Dome. We got a little stretch of time, right? I mean, listen, we all complained coming out of the Dome, and it felt like it was forever when we were in it. But after the Dome, I think a lot of people couldn't wait to see, you know, they wanted a Kenny Omega New Japan Cup win, and then, you know, away we go to a Sakura, and, you know, everything was going to happen really quick, and it didn't happen. We had to get through Suzuki, we had to get through Shibata, we had to get through a lot of different things to get to even where we are right now.
Which was worth it in the long run.
Absolutely. So again, the biggest criticism that even I have of this particular show is that we have zero fucking patience. We have none, right? We want things to happen immediately. We got 6 months. 6 months is a long time in the world of pro graps, kids, to get through.
And Damon, sometimes all you need is just a little patience.
Ah, little Guns N' Roses. Is that your favorite GNR song?
No, it's not my favorite.
Mine's Yesterday's.
That's a great song.
I like that one.
Off of one of the Use Your Illusion albums. I think my favorite probably has to be November Rain.
Really? See, that's too long. That's like a 9-minute song. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
It just goes on and on.
You can never go to a Rush concert.
Oh, no. I would kill myself. No, I couldn't do it. I couldn't sit through. I would be like, just play Tom Sawyer 9 times.
Yeah, Damon doesn't want to hear By Tor and the Snow Dog.
Certainly I don't. No.
So, U.S. title, you're still predicting Elgin then?
Yeah, I'm going to say Elgin. I think here's the thing with Elgin too. Elgin needs some wins. Like, he went away for a couple of months.
The last time that Big Michael Elgin got a win was the New Japan Rumble.
Really?
You know, well, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say that because he probably did get some wins in tag matches after that. But like, his last big win on a major show was that.
Significant win.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's a dude that needs a win. He needs a couple wins. He needs that. I think it's a good fit too.
Yeah, I think putting the title on Michael Elgin certainly wouldn't be the worst thing in the world by any stretch of the imagination.
Who would be a disappointment? Give me a name that you think really could win this thing that you'd be less than thrilled with.
Well, let's take a. Actually, I can answer that question right away. Either. Well, Hangman Page. How about that? Hangman Page.
You really think he's got a shot at this?
No, I don't.
Bullet Club member. Wait a minute. Hear me out.
That's right.
Bullet Club member. And for whatever reason, New Japan really is fond of this guy.
Yeah, they do. Gedo loves him some Hangman Page, from my understanding. So, I mean, you could see him pull out a win over Jay Lethal.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's it. I think that's... I'm not going to say it's a stone cold lock. That's good money right there.
Yeah, so are you saying that Hangman Page could potentially go to the semifinals of this tournament?
I mean, it's a long shot, right? So let's say he gets a solid win over Jay Lethal, right?
Right.
They give him a solid, clean 1-2-3 win. Who would he get next? He would get like an Elgin or a Omega. Like, he would get somebody or an Ishii, right? Like, that's not going to be a cakewalk in a second round. So it's got to be some kind of shenanigans that he gets a win, right? But it could happen. He's a Bullet Club. Listen, in Long Beach, anybody wearing that Bullet Club t-shirt, you know they're going to get put over strong.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's what this audience is going to be.
And again, Hangman Page, he's in the States. He's, you know... That's an easy thing for them to do. I'm not saying they're going to do it, and for me, he's like a dark horse. But it's not my option. It's not something that I would want to see. But that's possible.
And do you think that in a way, it would make sense for your U.S. champion to be a guy who works primarily in the States for the most part? He could be like the representative, essentially, of New Japan in the States as IWGP U.S.
Yeah.
champion.
But I think that waters it down a bit.
I agree. Again, the way to give this title instant credibility is slapping it on Omega or even Naito, even though he's probably going to toss it in the air and piss on it.
Right. You say they fixed up the IC strap. Tanahashi. Yeah. Tanahashi got his welding mask. Right? Like they're running with that. Tanahashi stayed up all night on a Saturday night. With his War of what is it? What are those little miniature figure things?
Miniature figure things.
Yeah, they're World of Warcraft. Dragons. Yeah. What's it called?
World of Warcraft. I think is what you're referring to.
Yeah, you know, like those little miniature things. You paint them. There's little figures. That's what Tanahashi was doing with the IC belt. He's like cleaning it. Yeah, he got like little Q-tips, and he's cleaning out all the little muck and putting it together, and it looks great. I mean, listen, it's the same design. I thought they were going to go with a different design.
Yeah,
actually,
that's what I thought too.
Nah, it's all cleaned up. The white strap is sparkling white,
glistening,
glistening. You can eat off of it. That's what they did with that.
So anyway, to make this a major title, I think putting it on Omega, putting it on Naito, instant credibility. Putting it on, say, a Hangman Page, not instant credibility,
no.
But a representative of sorts for New Japan in the U.S.
Right, and I think that it does help Hangman Page.
Yeah, it would.
It would help Hangman Page. It would help establish him. Again, I'm not saying that this is going to happen, kids. I'm not saying that this is my pick.
We don't know what's going to happen.
No, I really don't. I got people telling me that they're not winning it. I had people that. So I don't know. Who knows? No one truly knows. But I think Hangman Page is my dark horse. How about a guy like Ishii? Like Ishii would be a good pick.
Yeah, Ishii would probably be my third choice, truth be told. But yeah, I think that would be a solid pick. I mean, Ishii is also a guy, remember, who has held the Ring of Honor television title.
That's right.
So, you know, and Ishii makes his fair share of appearances for mm-hmm. Ring of Honor. So mm-hmm. yeah, putting the U.S. title on him, not a bad decision as well. And neither is putting it on Michael Elgin.
No, I think Michael Elgin needs wins. We need to reestablish his name in New Japan. So I think that's an easy one as well. So, again, I'm still going on the record with an Elgin win. But, again, Dark Horse, I'll go with Hangman Page. You, Elgin, as well?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Elgin just because I don't see them putting this strap on Omega. I don't think that's the route they're going. Again, I don't know the booking. I could be way off. So I'm going to go with Elgin. Hangman Page, certainly a dark horse. The guys who I think have absolutely no chance of winning this title.
Jay Lethal, right.
Juice, and Zack Sabre Jr.
See, now, okay, I would agree with the Zack. I would agree with the Zack.
Not the Juice, though.
I think Juice is a real strong dark horse.
Do you?
That's a good title for his first one. That's a good one.
That is a good title for Juice's first win. You know, that would similar to how it would help Hangman Page, it would help Juice even more.
And I think right now, positional wise, Juice is higher on the totem pole. Do you know who Juice has in the first round?
Juice has Zack Sabre Jr. Do you see him making it out of that alive?
I mean, yeah. I mean, all things considered, Zack Sabre Jr. is not, you know, he's not fucking Tanahashi.
Both of these guys are in the G1, by the way.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd mention that. We're going to go over that roster soon, but
Juice is not a bad pick, Colin. Juice is not a bad dark horse pick.
No, he's not, but I don't know. For whatever reason, I just don't see him getting past Zack Sabre Jr. I think he's going to twist him into a pretzel and make him tap. And
I think that's, you know, I think we've been missing the boat. I think the Juice is a real good strong pick.
Should we get on the Juice train? Is that what you're saying?
You wanna?
Yeah, let's hop on the Juice train. Why not?
Fuck it, let's do it. Juice wins this motherfucker. All right, I'm in. I would be behind that.
So you're saying you're not even saying Dark Horse then? Or are you?
Maybe I should pump the brakes, right?
I think let's do this. So Elgin walks away with the title, but our two dark horses, Hangman Page
right.
and Juice Robinson.
Yeah, I would put a couple bucks on Juice.
Just a couple?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I got a little over my head there. I got a little excited for Juice. But I think those are two strong dark horses. Yeah. Well, I'll go Elgin, Juice, Hangman Page in that order. In that order.
I was going to say, Damon, that's one of your problems. You get excited about these new shiny things really fast. and then you just crash down from them immediately.
Juice is my new spinner.
Yeah.
Your my new fidget spinner.
Yeah, your fidget spinner. We should make PuroCast fidget spinners.
You think so? We think we could have an audience for
that? Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. What is the deal with the fidget spinner? I don't even know what it is. Like, I know what it is, but, like, what does it do?
My understanding is that it's just a little doohickey that you play with at your desk.
Okay.
I don't really know much about them. I'll be honest.
Is this something like for people who are nervous, Nellies, or what's the deal with those? I don't know what it is.
I think it's just something for people who need to be fidgeting with something at all times.
But they're very positive. There's a lot of fidgety people out there, a lot of people needing to fidget.
I think so. I think we live in a very fidgety world, if you want my opinion.
Okay. I mean, listen, they're hugely popular, but all right. Hey, speaking of which, Colin, did you see? We got a new logo.
I did. That is a gorgeous new logo, if I don't say so myself.
I mean, how about that? I mean, listen, we were talking to a lot of different designers, and we want to use as many as possible, but I think we struck gold in this particular case, Colin. I was very happy. So, yes, we do have a new logo. It's, you know, we're coming up on 100 shows, and, you know, maybe we felt like we needed a new coat of paint.
A little facelift.
A little facelift. You know, we talk about the facelift and the Kota paints, the Kota Ibushi paints. And we got one. And we were very pleased with the initial test runs that we saw. And we were very happy that the great Brett Spangler, what a fucking bang-up job he did on our logo.
What an artiste.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we don't have the talent for that. And this guy came across our laps and just did a bang up job, and we're so thrilled. So listen, I told him that we would put him over on this show, and absolutely he deserves it. So give him a big thumbs up. It's on our Facebook wall. Colin will tweet it out, I'm sure. But Brett Spangler, if you need graphics, we couldn't have been more happy. And again, we're going to work with others. We're going to work with Brett again. So no frets if we haven't gotten to you yet, but Brett did a great job.
And the ultimate plan, folks, is to hopefully get some of these designs printed on some t-shirts, and we can start hawking gimmicks here.
Right, let's sell some merch. Well, but my goal today was I wanted to get stickers made for the meetup. Like, I just wanted to get like little vinyl stickers, circular stickers. But I got to find a place that can make them super quick because the shows are this week. But again, that's the goal. So we can have some stuff that you guys can proudly display to your friends and family. And then you say, "Ooh, what is that New Japan PureCast?" And then you could talk about the great stuff that we do here on this podcast. But again, Brett, excellent job by him. If you have design work, if you have design needs, please, please hook up Brett. He does a great job, and he's a good guy for us. We love our new logo, so thank you very much. All right, where are we now?
Absolutely. So we talked about the main event. We talked about the U.S. title tournament. I think we came to an agreement there. Mm-hmm. As far as night two goes, you know, we're going to see the first ever IWGP U.S. Heavyweight champion crowned, and mm-hmm. you think that will be the main event of night two? Because I can't imagine them doing Tanahashi versus Mr. Ass for the IC title.
Well, no, is that first night one? Is Tanahashi Billy Gunn night one as well?
Tanahashi and Billy Gunn is night two. I'm talking about night two here.
Okay. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the main event for night two.
Tanahashi versus Billy Gunn.
I won't be surprised. Unless the main event for this U.S. title is off the charts. I'm hoping it is. But listen, I think they'll do us right by this.
Best case scenario, do you hope for Omega versus Naito? I mean, selfishly.
I mean, selfishly, yes. Do I think it's going to happen yet? No, I don't think it's going to happen. But, I would – listen, you're going to give me the login for that Twitter account, and I'm going to go ballistic if it is. You're going to see one happy guy. You know I got a Snapchat now too. Right?
Oh,
you
know. No. Oh, no. This isn't good.
No, why not? Why is Snapchat not good?
I could just see a lot of lurid things happening. That's all. That's all.
Is this the and again, this is me being just completely ignorant, but is this the one where the pictures only last for 24 hours?
Correct.
Oh, really? This could be good. Wow.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
Is there shenanigans that goes on here?
I think that Snapchat is Snapchat's like the Suzuki Goon of photo apps. Really, it's all about shenanigans and smoke and mirror. Yeah.
Yeah.
This could be right up your alley, actually.
This is gonna be great. All right, let me kind of give my handle.
Sure.
Is that what it's called? Well, it's Damon Purocast. So DamonPurocast on the Snapchat. So we'll be doing that from San Diego. Somebody will be.
Close.
I won't be doing it from San Diego. How about Long Beach, Colin? We'll be doing it from there. So I have that all set up, and then you'll give me the Twitter account, right?
Yes. Oh, I'll give you the Twitter account.
Come on! It'll be great.
Sure.
You sure? You sounded hesitant.
No. You'll have access to the Twitter account. You can tweet live during
tweet
Long
live?
Beach. You get Periscope.
Is Periscope still a thing?
As far as I know.
Is it? Okay, maybe I'll do that. Listen, I'll do it all. I'll put out an audiobook, for Christ's sake. We'll put it up on Audible. I'll do everything. I'll be the social media guru here. Boy, this is going to go down in flames, Colin.
that's what I'm afraid of. But
we might not make 100 shows.
Back to night two, though. I do not see any way that Tanahashi and Billy Gunn is going to headline. I do think that it is going to be whatever the final is for this U.S. title tournament. I think it has to be, especially if you want to establish a title with credibility. You know, what better way than the main event of night two in Long Beach? And what's your take on this IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Title match? Young Bucks versus Roppongi Vice.
Right. Now, we like these guys. We like both these teams. We think both these teams are outstanding. I like the fact that it's not a three-way schmoz, two teams. They're going to have a good match. You know they're going to have a good match. They had a really stellar match last show that we really enjoyed. So, and again, on U.S. soil, I think we're in for a treat. Now, my question to you is this. Has anything been finalized? Do you think this is one of those – yeah, well, why don't we do this on a ladder?
Yes, that's exactly what I think it is. I think that they're just going to turn this into a ladder match. No formal announcement as of yet, but I think it's a safe bet that you're going to be seeing a ladder match.
Okay, that's that car crash element that the Bucks are very good at. Listen, if you're going to stick a ladder in a match, give it to the Bucks. Why not? And Roppongi and Trent. I'm in. I think it's going to be fantastic, actually.
Yeah, I don't see how there's any way that wouldn't be a good match, because they had two great matches already this year, one at the Tokyo Dome, and of course, the latest one at Dominion, which I thought was better than their Tokyo Dome match. And
me too.
You could say that for a lot of matches on Dominion.
Huh? I mean, I'm in. I think you had a great match. Throw in a ladder, yeah. You just add in some extra spice. I'm down. I think it's going to be very good.
Well, Damon, I do want to get into a discussion here about the G1 Climax 27 roster.
Yes.
Before we get into that, though, I just want to preview two title matches that we've got coming up this week on the June 26th and June 27th editions of Kizuna Road. Of course, we're going to see Yoshihashi challenge Minoru Suzuki for the NEVER Openweight title.
Mm-hmm. And on these Road 2 shows, we saw a lot of interaction between Yoshihashi. Yoshihashi getting the better a little bit of Suzuki. So I think this will be good. I think Yoshihashi's looking forward to the challenge and, you know, main eventing. And again, this NEVER open weight title being called upon once again on these smaller shows to headline. So yeah, I think we're in for a decent match. Good match. Can't say that I'm necessarily excited for it, and I feel bad because, you know, Yoshihashi, you know, when he's put in these spots, we all want him to, you know, we're all saying, hey, you know what? We got to remember that Yoshihashi's not the guy he was a year ago or 2 years ago. He's a, you know, but it's kind of hard. People still struggle with it a little bit.
He evolved into Paula Deen.
He really has. So again,
I can't wait to buy one of his non-stick skillets to cook my eggs with.
Oh, poor Yoshihashi. So look,
I think this will be a good match.
I think so too. And I think, like I said, I don't want to shit on Yoshihashi. I can't say I'm excited, but I know in my heart that it'll be a good match. I think he'll be able to pull it off.
I think, and I hate to say this, I don't want to put the boots to Goto, but I'm kind of more excited about this match than the Goto matches that he has had with Suzuki, simply because I think there's more of a element of unpredictability in this Yoshihashi match. Because after all, Damon, he is the loose explosion, right?
Well, okay. You know?
He's the loose explosion. We don't know what's going to happen.
I will agree with your point in the sense of you do know what you're getting with Goto and Suzuki,
right?
You can kind of see that match in your head, and I'll be truthful, I don't necessarily know that when I think of Yoshihashi versus Suzuki. I don't really know what I'm going to get. So yeah, I would agree with that. I know there was some joking around in that, but there is some truth to that as well, in the sense of what kind of match are we expecting? Like, what kind of match do you see out of these two? So that there is that level of curiosity that I think makes this a little bit more intriguing to me than Goto. Yes, I would agree with that. But I think it's a valid point.
And then the main event of the 627 show is Kushida defending his IWGP Junior Heavyweight title against Bushi in a match, to me, that really doesn't make much sense. Because, Damon, correct me if I'm wrong, Kushida defeated Bushi in the Best of the Super Juniors tournament. So what right does Bushi, like, the brass balls on Bushi to come out and spray his mist and challenge for a title from the guy who beat him in the tournament? I understand this being an easy match. Like, Kushida versus Bushi is such an easy match to set up, and it could easily main event one of these shows, but it's just, I don't know, it doesn't make that much sense to me. That being said, of course they'll have a good match. These two guys always have a good match.
Yes, without question. And I did read stuff online saying a lot of what you're echoing. It is why would they give it to Bushi? But if you look at it, it is one of these matches that we're just going to try to get to. Like, there's no title change here, right, Colin?
I couldn't imagine.
Right. Give me a percentage. 10%?
1%.
Okay. So again, this is just a match to establish Kushida again, to get a nice solid title defense under his belt. Okay. Fair enough. Against, you know, the junior representative in the lead heel faction in the company. Right. Okay. Right. That's why we're doing that. Excitement level, scale 1 to 10.
Excitement level, I'm going to go with a 5 or a 6.
Yeah, I'm probably in that boat. I'm probably more excited for Suzuki Yoshihashi.
Yeah, again, because we don't know what that looks like.
Yeah, we don't know what that
looks like. It could be a hot mess, but nevertheless, we don't know.
Right. So, yeah, I think I'm more excited for that, just for the fact that it is a fresh matchup, and you don't know what we're going to get. I think everybody can kind of see a Bushi Kushida match, right? You see it in your head. We've seen it 1,000 times. I think I'm more excited for Yoshihashi Suzuki. Absolutely.
Let's talk about Mr. Kushida for a second, and I want to put you on the spot here and ask you straight up: is Kushida one of the best pro wrestlers in the world today, now?
Yes. Okay. Yes, and yes, no doubt. Yeah, I can't. I would be hard-pressed to not have him in my top 10 right now.
I was thinking to myself, you know, I tell you all the time, I give a great deal of thought to our end-of-year awards, you know, throughout the year. And I was thinking, boy, Kushida may be in the Wrestler of the Year category.
He had a rough couple months, Colin.
He did, but other than Okada, as far as match quality goes...
Omega?
Omega
Tanahashi?
I think that Kushida's matches have been better.
Huh.
I think that Okada...
What about Naito?
Naito hasn't had...
What about Takahashi?
He did... Takahashi's close. Takahashi's very close. But as far as like a complete package goes, I think you got to put Kushida in that Okada territory.
No.
Okay.
No. I think Kushida is a top 10 wrestler, like just overall. But I don't think Kushida has had a year. I think I'd name three or four solid people that are a well above Kushida's year. Kushida said it had a real rough patch there. He had a match with Takahashi, and again, I'm talking about Takahashi, you know, in Wrestler of the Year. But you know, it was more of a surprise than anything else. It was the 2 minute match. Nah, I can't go Kushida in that bucket.
How about this? Is Kushida one of the top five wrestlers in New Japan right now?
Like, are we going by the year or just overall pro wrestler? Like, who I think is top of their field or who's having a better year?
We're going just overall wrestler.
I think Okada is top of the list. I think,
of course.
I think Tanahashi is right there. I mean,
see, to me, Kushida's had a better year than Tanahashi.
Right. Again, are we talking about the year that they're having, right? Because again, the year that they're having is different than overall body of work.
Kushida really turned it around, though. You have to admit, Kushida's a dual title holder, Damon. He holds the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Title and the Ring of Honor Television Title.
He had a great match against a great match against Will Ospreay, right?
That's right. Five-star match.
He's had very good matches with
Marty Scurll.
Takahashi, I was going to say, earlier in the year. The Dome being one of them. I mean, he's had a good year, but I don't think his year is better than Okada's. I don't think his year is better. I think Omega's body of work this year is better than Kushida's.
Omega, though, you know... After the Dome, he was absent until what?
Okay,
Japan Cup or no? Honor Rising shows.
Yeah. That's when he came back to Honor Rising shows. Okay. So even in that same time frame, right? Even in that same time frame, Kushida was kind of wallowing. He didn't have that whole stretch. He was doing fucking jobs in multi-man tag matches, for Christ's sake.
He was. This is true.
I think there are. Listen, gun to my head, and if we're talking about again just this year, I think you got to go Okada number one. I think you got to. For me personally, I'm going Takahashi number two.
Wow.
So far this year, and I'm going Omega number three.
So Takahashi's ahead of Omega, and Kushida might not be in that top five for you.
Takahashi's had a fucking amazing year.
He has absolutely
for a junior.
For a junior.
Yeah. He gave that division a spark and an energy that it was missing even with all the talent that was there. Right? Even with the Ricochets and the Kyle O'Reillys and the Will Ospreys and the Bushis, and even with all the talent, that motherfucker came in and stole the show.
He rose to the top, certainly.
He's my number two. Right now, he's my number two.
I'm just of the opinion that right now, I think that Kushida is a top five wrestler in New Japan.
Yes. I would agree with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's a very valid point. But no, he is not in my top three for Wrestler of the Year right now. No.
Well, Damon, I think that right now we should delve into this G1 Climax 27 lineup. Of course, by the time we get done recording this show, we're going to have the blocks and we're going to have the match schedule. But what I wanted to do today was I kind of wanted to go through the roster wrestler by wrestler and kind of get your thoughts on what their ceiling is, what their potential is in this tournament, and if this will be a breakout tournament for said wrestler. So let's start from the top here. Hiroshi Tanahashi.
The only thing that, and again, we worry about this forever, right? This is nothing new.
We sound like from a broken record with this.
Right. But I mean, since the first time that we've had a conversation, we've talked about, okay, let's just get Tanahashi healthy enough so that he can make it through this G1, right? He's a big time performer. He shines in these moments. I don't think he wins. I think it's going to be close. I think he's going to be one of those guys as we get toward the final. He's going to be in the mix. The points are going to add up where there's always a shot for Tanahashi. I don't think he wins. He always shines in these moments, Colin. Yeah. And the people who count him down and think that, oh, well, this is finally going to be the year that, he's going to put in a shitty, that's not going to happen. Not on this stage. He'll be fine.
Tanahashi always has his working boots on G1 season, no matter what.
Yep. Truth be told, Tanahashi is the least of my concerns. He really is.
Wrestler on this G1 roster that you are most excited to see Tanahashi potentially face off against. For me, I think it's got to be Kenny Omega. We've only seen these two wrestle once early last year, and I think that a lot of us have been salivating for that rematch.
Know what I'd like to see? And that's one of them. That's probably the first name that popped in my head. You know who the other name would be?
Who's that?
And the blocks have to work out, and we'll get that announcement, the 26th, is it? The 26th show?
Yeah, the 26th, we'll have the blocks. The 27th, we will have the match schedule.
Gotcha.
Schedule.
Know who I'd like to see? I'd like to see Tanahashi, Michael Elgin.
Yeah, Tanahashi and Elgin. Have we seen that before? We saw it at a Ring of Honor show. I think was the last time we saw it.
No, I don't think we did. I saw Michael Elgin Kushida once, and I think I saw Michael Elgin Naito once.
Yes, you and I saw Michael Elgin Naito. I could have sworn that he fought Tanahashi at some point on that War of the Worlds tour, but I guess I'm wrong. Yeah,
they tagged together. They tagged together against the Bucks.
Right. So Tanahashi and Elgin, a fresh matchup, an interesting matchup.
I'd like to see that. I'd like to. That's the when you asked the question, Omega was the first one, but then. And truth be told, I'm looking like in my office. It's like pictures of everybody, and there's a picture of me, Tanahashi, and Elgin.
Of course, there is. Why wouldn't there be?
Do you know what picture is at my my nightstand in my bedroom?
What, you and your wife?
No, on my nightstand is a picture of me, Liger, and Tiger Mask.
Good Lord. What an animal, folks. What an animal. You guys don't know the half of it either.
I really don't.
I've been getting, each time we come here and record, I get just a further peek into Damon's life.
Right?
And it's, it's something else.
Oh, it's, I mean, listen, you're making me sound like Keith Richards.
No, you're not. You're not like you're certainly not as cool as Keith, but
that's hurtful. look, I think I gave you this one. I live my life by a poison video.
Yep.
Cry Tough. If you watch Cry Tough by Poison, that's how I want my life to be. The only problem is that I have like responsibilities that get in the way of that sometimes, like work and stuff. just as a little peek, like on Wednesday, what was it, about 11 o'clock? I text you.
Yeah.
Not in the best condition.
No, and it was sentimental, Damon, that night. Like, you can tell that it was, you know, Damien's been having a few drinks and he's feeling all warm and fuzzy, you know. it's like the big teddy bear Damon. Which I prefer over Surly Damon, but
I don't think you really got Surly Damon.
A few times. But getting back to the roster here, Damon.
Yes, so
Tanahashi, he's not winning, but you see him going far, semifinal potential, right?
Okay.
Togi Makabe is a guy who has no chance of winning, correct?
No chance.
Okay.
And on these that last Road 2 show, truth be told, in my mind, Father Time has caught up with Togi Makabe.
Yeah, and he has not been kind.
No, and he's never kind. Trust me, I live it every day. But he really. There was something off in that mixed tag, not mixed tag, that multi-man tag that he was involved in. He got the win, and again, this is the season as the summer months in North America approach. That's heat up Toge time. He looked not great. I'll say it, not great.
And you know, Togi Makabe is a guy who pretty much has to be in this tournament every year. I mean, he's a guy who has a certain celebrity in Japan, I suppose you could say. Certainly more than a lot of the other New Japan stars, and he's just been a mainstay for the longest time. So I think that you pretty much have to have him in this tournament, and I think we'll see some solid performances out of him as well.
I think so. I think everybody has their working shoes on. They're good for one or two. I'll tell you the name that you haven't mentioned that I'm really excited for is Yuji Nagata.
Yuji Nagata, his final G1 climax.
Yeah, I think he has plenty in the tank. I think I'm looking forward to seeing how he does.
This is different than Tenzan, because I mean Tenzan could barely walk last year, whereas Yuji Nagata is a guy who can still go.
Yep. I think, like I said, I think he has plenty in the tank. And I think if you're looking for surprise, and again, I'm not talking necessarily about wins and losses. I'm talking more of, okay, that was a good match. I gotta make sure I watch it this day. I think you're gonna get more. Oh, I gotta watch this match. People are raving about it. Then you're gonna get. You can skip the Yuji Nagata match. I think he's gonna surprise a lot of people. And I think the people that are already fans are going to be pleasantly surprised with Yuji Nagata. Absolutely.
Michael Elgin, how are his chances of winning?
I'm going to say slim. You know, winning. Again, I think that the way that they book, he's going to be in the mix. I don't see him winning. I don't see him being in the finals. I don't see him being in the semifinals. But
how about
again,
this? I see him having a great match with Okada. That's what I see.
Man, I tell you, it's really those brackets. It's really how they divide them up. That's where you really salivate at the matchups. And when they, and, you know, and it's weird how they're doing it. They're not doing it all in one shot. Usually they announce everything, don't they?
Yeah, and it's historically it has been on Dominion, but for whatever reason we couldn't do that this year, so we're stretching it out over three shows and torturing everyone.
That's what it is. It really is.
I don't mean to sound negative though.
No, but it's kind of like a good torture. This is kind of like wax on the nipples, right? Right. This is good.
The candle wax being poured.
Yeah. This is hurt so good.
Okay. All right. I see where you're coming from.
You know what I mean? Like, so again, we're talking about it, and we're kind of salivating at the possibilities of some of these matchups. You know, an Elgin Tanahashi, a Naito, an Okada Elgin. You know, some of these matchups are going to be really sexy. So, while at first I was like, Jesus Christ, why are they doing this? Why are they stretching it out? I kind of see it now. I kind of see why they're doing it, because I'm hyped. I'm ready to fucking go. I want to see it. And again, it's these matchups are the key.
Do you think that Okada could perhaps win his third G1 climax? I think there's a good possibility. I really do, especially if, and I know everyone thinks that this is just impossible. Especially if Okada doesn't go into this tournament as champion, which there is a possibility that could happen. Boy, Damon, I think we're going to see a lot of surprised people next week. I really do.
I really do. Yeah. You've been saying it for a while, too. Well, okay. I'm not gonna get the sourpuss Damon.
I'm not even saying it's a bad thing. How about that? I'm just saying I think we're gonna have a lot of surprised people.
Okay. All right. Well, look, I think we're on a good path. Okay. Okada winning G1, I think is a strong possibility, right? Especially if he doesn't, if he walks out of Long Beach without the title, right? If that happens, I think it's a real good possibility we see him winning a G1. Wouldn't it be something if it's Omega?
Okada?
Yeah. And Okada's chasing for the title at the Dome.
I have thought about that, but since we said that we're feeling in our gut that it's going to be Naito
really
versus Okada at the Dome, yeah. Omega would then... So are we saying that Omega's champion? What are we saying here?
We're saying that Cody Rhodes... And again, I'm not saying this is happening, and no. I know we're all over the map here, but bear with us, guys. And gals. My bad. Cody wins.
Cody wins.
Omega Cody. Omega wins.
Okay.
We go to the Dome. Okada chasing because he won G1.
Chasing.
But here's the thing, though. That's a lot of flip-floppy of the belt.
That's the thing.
That's flip-floppy on that belt, and we don't do that.
No, New Japan doesn't like to do that. But again, right. we don't know what they have in mind. We don't know what their booking is, so...
True, but historically, that's not the fucking never six man belts, right?
No,
we're not flippity flopping in that belt around. So I think that scenario is a long shot. Okada winning, he would be a favorite, but I don't think he's our winner.
Chances of Goto squeaking his way to the finals again?
Zero.
Yeah,
zero.
I think Goto's time was last year, and again, I don't really know what you do with the guy at this point. He's not even going to be at Long Beach.
No. No, he's not.
Goto didn't want to make the trip into SoCal. It's kind of like yeah. me and Goto should get together and sulk.
I'm telling you, that trip to Mexico is what you kids need.
Whew, you're not kidding.
But zero. Zero chance. He'll be in a mix. Zero chance.
Tomohiro Ishii.
There's a lot of people that have been talking about Ishii or Ralph, as we lovingly used to call him, is going to make a run. There's people that are convinced. He might be the new Shibata.
If that actually happened, that would make up for every shitty thing that happened to me this year, I think.
Really?
That would just make my year if Ishii goes on this fucking epic run in the G127, makes it to the finals. Good yeah. Lord, could you imagine? And here's the thing, like, all of the matches would be great.
It would be great.
They would be great.
He's this year's Shibata, though.
I think so. I think you're right. And, I mean, Shibata would have been this year's Shibata. Yeah,
I think people are still picking Shibata this year.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're still going to, you know, see some. Shibata's walking away, but... yeah, speaking of Shibata, what's the latest on his... status.
Latest, good. I was reading some translations. It might have been Striga online. Everybody knows the great Striga from Cage Match, if I'm not mistaken. I believe he was the one that was translating some of Shibata's blog. And boy, what a sad read that was. You talk. Listen, don't read his blog and then listen to last week's podcast.
You know,
you'll be in a dark place.
Yeah.
Yeah, so apparently, if I was reading this properly, he was in a bad way even before this match. Like, he was having vision problems.
Yes.
and you know, just physically not all 100%. And this the Okada match made it worse, and the rehab is really taking its toll on him, and he's unfortunately becoming very frustrated. And it's a bit of a challenge for him at this point. And then, reading that blog reminded me of Yoshitatsu when he was in the hospital and the dark place that he was in. It's sad. It really is a sad, sad, sad state, because in a sense, like he, we sit here and we praise him for this when he talks about him being a warrior and him being a fighter, But in the same breath, Colin, I hate to be this guy. It's pro wrestling. What the fuck are you being a warrior for?
Yeah, right? I mean, the...
Take care of yourself.
The art in all of this was supposed to convince people that you're having a real fight, but you're protecting yourself and your opponent, correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
That's what pro wrestling is, in a nutshell. That's the art of it.
It is, but again, we're guilty of it. We're going to praise a match that was...
Barbaric.
Looking back on it, yeah. I mean, I hate to use that word, but let's call it what it is. And again, they're adults and they're professionals and they choose to do this, but it makes it like I feel terrible for the guy, but it's just like, damn it, did you have to do all that? I know hindsight's 20/20, but it's sad. Yeah, he's not coming back. I don't want him to come back.
No,
I don't.
If it's as bad as we think it is, then no, for his own well-being. No. Yeah.
Now, again, a trainer being involved in the promotion, absolutely. I would hope, and I think New Japan, and again, a lot of the Japanese promotions do have a history and a track record of taking care of people in situations like this. And I have the utmost confidence that he will be. Keep him out of the ring. I don't want to see him in a fucking ring. I don't want to see him in a ring.
So Ishii not winning this year's G1 Climax. Toru Yano certainly not winning.
No.
But
he's there for spoiling. You know, getting a couple hair pull, boob shots. You know, he's there for guys to take a night off.
What if he got one over on Omega?
He might. Listen, Yoshihashi got one first night last year.
That's right.
Nobody expected that. There's going to be plenty of that. But that's why he's there. That's fine. I'm totally cool with it. No worries there.
Yoshihashi, you mentioned. No shot of him yeah. winning the tournament, but maybe a little never title run. Who knows?
You think?
Perhaps. I don't think it's out of the question.
I don't think he's beaten Suzuki.
Probably not. But not out of the question. Kenny Omega, could he do it 2 years in a row?
Yes, he could. Will they is a question.
There has to be a commitment.
There really does. And I don't know if there is or not.
I get the feeling, again, I don't know anything, but I get the feeling that the situation is kind of the same.
Yeah, I think it's an accurate statement.
I could be way off, but.
Look, I think he's in that upper echelon of people that could win this, the likelihood of it happening. I can't even say it's small. I think it's a good chance. I think he's probably in my top three.
So you're saying a Yano Omega finale then? No. Okay. I thought that's where you were going.
I think there's a very good possibility he's in a final. I don't know if he wins it or not, but I think there's a damn good chance he's in a final.
Bad Luck Fale. Who do you see him tearing through this year and getting his, you know, because Fale has to get a title shot. Well, no, he has to beat a champion every G1, right?
He does. That is true.
He has to beat a champion. Last year he beat Okada, did not get a title shot, had a non-title match, which I still don't get, but...
Tanahashi?
Yeah. Hey, there's an opponent that Fale has gone through before, and they could certainly do that again. Am I super psyched about the prospect of a Tanahashi Fale IC title match? It'd be good.
I think of all the champions that are out there, and you know he's getting a win over a champion.
Of
all of them out there, I think the likelihood is probably best that Tanahashi's the one.
So Fale versus Tanahashi.
Yeah, if you see Tanahashi Fale, if you're doing the G1 pick'ems for Voices of Wrestling,
that's right,
and that's coming, by the way. If you see that, I think the money's on Fale to win that match. I think Fale's winning that match.
Tama Tonga,
Zilcho. But I will say this: I was thrilled because I was waiting for the next shoe to drop, with fucking Tagovailoa, and I didn't get it. And I think that got me more excited than just about anything else.
Hey, they know what they have in Tagovailoa.
Yeah.
He had that one singles match that was just a total disaster in the New Japan Cup. So they know what they have.
Yep. I tell you what, and on a side note, Colin, we'll save it. An overall thought of the G1 participants. But go ahead. Tonga is not winning the G1. That's a safe bet.
Tetsuya Naito. Damon, I'd like to say something. This year's G1 climax with Naito feels, maybe it's just me, but it feels eerily similar to the 2015 G1 climax. Remember when we thought that Nakamura was like a lock to win that thing?
Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of the same thing this year. Like we're going into it thinking that it's almost a lock that Naito is going to win. So that makes me think that...
he's not winning.
Yeah, right. That might not necessarily be so.
That's a valid point. That was the G1 I was at.
Yeah, and that's just what it feels like to me this year with Naito. I get a very strong Nakamura feeling.
I think everybody in that building thought Nakamura was winning too.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what I'm talking about.
And it's not like they haven't done that before, because I remember Eric talking about when he went to Wrestle Kingdom
9.
And Tanahashi beat Okada, and everybody in that fucking building looked at each other like, what in the fuck? All right, what? He didn't win Okada? What? And I think everybody was kind of like that when Tanahashi won G1.
Yeah, did you get that vibe?
Colin, I'm telling you, everybody in that building thought that was Nakamura's. There was nobody in that building that thought Tanahashi was winning.
I think a lot of people think that this tournament is Naito's tournament. This is his for the taking, but I don't think that's necessarily the case.
He's my odds-on winner.
Yeah.
But you have a valid fucking point. You do have a valid point.
A guy who I'm very excited about in the G1 this year, and who I think is really going to have a breakout year, is Seiya Sonata.
Yeah, me too. He's going to make
his mark in this tournament.
I hope so. I hope so. He's one of those guys that I think he's waiting for that spark. He's waiting for that moment. I think this is a really good time for him. I'm excited for him in this tournament. I think everybody should be too. If we're looking for a breakout moment, this is a great time for it. And I think he'll do better points wise than people expect. He could be a dark horse. He could be a dark horse going into the semis. He's not a finals, but he's going to be in the mix. I really feel like he's going to be in the mix.
Another guy who I think could have a very good tournament is Evil.
Yeah, but I think this is a Sonata year. Like, if somebody's got to take a back seat, it's going to be Evil. I really feel like this could be a real good breakout moment for him.
I think that this could be a good year for Sonata to perhaps chase the IC title. So maybe getting a victory over Tanahashi again in this tournament. He did last year.
I don't know. I just think I think good things are in store for him. I just feel that in my gut.
Okay, Evil maybe taking a little bit of a back seat.
Yeah, somebody's got to take a back seat. No, and you can't have 500 people in Los Ingobernables just tearing through. I don't think you're going to see that. So, again, if somebody's going to have to take a back seat, it might have to be Evil. Sonata's been lurking in the background. You really haven't heard a lot from him this year. I think this is a good moment for him to kind of to warm up.
How about the leader of the Bread Club, Satoshi Kojima?
What a fucking crying shame he's not in Long Beach. What a crying shame. I don't think he'll do spectacular. I think he'll have decent matches. He's not sniffing the finals, no.
Oh, speaking of Kojima, just a little tie-in with him and Naito. I don't know if you read the comments by Naito, but he was saying how he would like to like pull a Kojima with how Kojima gave his position to Tenzan last year.
Right.
Naito wants to give away his U.S. title tournament slot to somebody.
Really?
Yes. He did say that.
Oh, that Naito. What a fucking character. Him and Los Ingobernables. Listen, you know me, Colin. You know me. I wasn't a big Los Ingobernables guy, right? Gotta love him. Takahashi with the fucking cat. What's the cat's name? Henry? What is it?
Something like that.
Derek. Isn't it Derek? No, it's Ah, what the fuck's the name? What's the cat's name? Ah, I forget. But that's gold too. Oh, they're great. Naito and Takahashi. Oh, so fucking good.
Juice Robinson. This could be a really breakout tournament for him, perhaps.
Well, I think your first G1, you're going to pay some dues, right? You're probably going to lose more than you're going to win. We already gave him a dark horse nod for this U.S. title, U.S. IWGP belt.
As far as match quality goes, I think that we're looking at this is all cupcakes from Juice, right?
Yeah, I think we're getting cupcakes.
Cupcakes all around.
I think he's not washing dishes anymore.
No.
Juice is not washing dishes anymore. We're past that. We're going to get some cupcakes.
He's baking.
Yeah. Him against Omega, him against an Elgin, him against Tanahashi, him against just weirder matches even too. Like, how would he pull off a match with Fale, right?
I really see Juice beating one of the champions in this tournament. I really do.
Wow.
I'm not talking about like heavyweight champion. I'm talking about, I don't think it's out of the question for him to beat whoever the never champion is, mm-hmm. and maybe even Tanahashi.
Just a matchup. I don't think he gets past like a babyface. Like, if he's going to get a win, he's going to be on a heel. He's going to get it on a heel. But just a matchup, just very intriguing this year. I'm really pleased. Very happy with this.
As am I. So, Suzuki.
I mean,
his first tournament since G1 24, I believe.
Yeah. When he strolled down Corkin Hall, this is what we wanted. We wanted him in G1. You know, this is what we were looking forward to. I think this is one of his last G1s, right? He's getting up there. But I think we're going to have a couple matches that we're going to be clamoring about G1.
And again, we don't know as of now, but Suzuki Omega.
Suzuki Omega. Suzuki Elgin.
Huh? Yeah, Suzuki Elgin.
Yeah, these are there's some sexy matches.
Suzuki Ishii.
How about Suzuki Ibushi?
We're not there yet. You're talking about.
It's my bad.
Another guy making his first appearance in a G1 climax, Zack Sabre Jr. I'm really excited about this. I don't think that you're as big of a Zack fan as I am.
You're bigger. I am a fan. You're much bigger.
I think he's one of the best wrestlers in the world. I really do.
But that's you. Like he's you. Like, you know, he's a Colin guy. I like him though, but I don't see him doing spectacular. I think he'll do. He's a middle of the road guy. Let's be honest.
Yeah, middle of the road. I'm not taking, you know, as many falls as Yano.
No.
But, you know.
All right, let's put some money on this.
Okay.
How about one American dollar?
All right.
Yano does better points-wise than Zach.
No.
I'll put the dollar on it. I'll tell you right now, Yano gets more points than Zach.
Let's do it.
Done. One American dollar. You heard it here first.
How about a silver dollar? Do you have one of them?
I don't think I do. No, I don't.
How about two Kennedy halves?
What do you, collect coins? What do you?
Maybe.
What a weirdo.
Could be part of my problem. And finally, Damon, you spoiled it earlier.
Sorry.
Kota Ibushi, the Golden Star, making his mm-hmm. return to the G1 climax. First time since 2015.
I had a G1 climax when I heard that.
Man, I guess the big question is, are we going to see Omega Ibushi? Will they be in the same block, or could they meet in the final?
Well, I think they'll be in the same block because I think that you want to headline a building with that.
I think so too.
Yeah, I think you have plenty of sexy matchups. You want to headline a decent building. You put that on there.
Would you put that in one of the final three nights?
I don't think it's necessarily you have to do it in the final three nights. I don't think it's 100% necessary that you have to do that. I think you could put that in the middle of the tour. And sell out that building. Again, I'm saying sell. I think they'll do well with it. I don't think you need to save that for like the sumo hall. It's a good spot to be in, though. Maybe Kota Ibushi fucks over Kenny Omega.
That would be something. And then we see Omega Ibushi down the line.
Yeah. We're doing a lot of fantasy booking. This is like the fantasy booking show. But
the thing is, there's so many things that you can do. There are so many possibilities. They're almost endless.
This is the fun part. I got to be honest with you. This is the fun season because, you know, for as much as down as we were on these G1 special shows, and I think for, let's be truthful, for purely selfish fucking reasons, boy, there's a lot of stuff that we can, there's a lot of different directions you can go in right now. This is an exciting fucking time. This is the time to be a fan.
Damon, I'm about to make a statement. I don't even want you to necessarily respond to it, but just a statement. And I tweeted this out. I was looking at this G127 roster, and I said, boy, you know, Bryan Danielson could have some good matches with every single one of these guys. That's all. I just wanted to say that. No reason why I'm saying that. I just wanted to interject that. You don't have to comment. It's just interesting, you know, the prophecy, you know, is getting closer and closer.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay.
Sent a tweet to Cody as well.
Did you hear? I saw that. How about that crowd response when the Golden Star was announced?
Yeah, he definitely got the biggest pop.
Yeah, that place was excited to see that handsome boy.
Chances of Ibushi winning the tournament.
No, I think he fucks somebody over.
Watch him win now.
I know, right. I mean, listen, you are right though. The one thing that has my wheels churning is that this does feel like everybody's kind of like Naito, this is a Naito win. This has got to be a Naito win. Everybody's looking.
Yep. Got to be a Nakamura win.
This is. I mean, this does feel exactly the same way, Colin. It does feel exactly the same way to me. Yeah, that is the one thing that is sticking out in my mind. But overall, how about this lineup? There's not a dud in this lineup.
I like this lineup better than last year's lineup, to be honest with you.
There were some scary moments, right? You could have had a Cody in there. You could have had Tongaloa. Yeah, I think that people are a little disappointed that there aren't too many surprises. Like, I know that there was some scuttlebutt about some All Japan participation. And again, those were just little buzzes, little rumors going about. But I think overall, I'm super pleased with this lineup. I think this lineup, I couldn't have asked for anything better. It got rid of the people there's no Yujiro Takahashi, right? There's no Tokyo Pimp. There's no Tenzan.
Which I'm disappointed about.
Nah, I'm good. I'm good. No Tenzan. There's not a lot of dead weight. Listen, there are people that are going to lose and they're there to lose. But even those people, I'm okay with. I'm really okay with going up and down that lineup. I got zero problems. I couldn't have asked for anything more. I'm excited.
And you know what's crazy to think about? You know, you can make the argument right now. As of June 25th, okay, you could make the argument that 2017 has been the best year as far as match quality goes in the history of New Japan Pro Wrestling. And we're only in June, and we still have the G1 climax. So my prediction is at the end of this year, 2017 is going to be that. That's the bar. 2017 is the bar.
Wow. I mean, they're, you know, I know people are rolling their eyes with Colin's comment. Colin, I think you're on point, and I'm a guy that's been watching this shit forever. This is an absolutely valid point.
And I'm not talking about gates or attendance. I'm talking about matches.
Right. We're not hitting 90s level gates.
No.
Right. But we're on an upswing, which is positive. We're on a roll here with nice houses, all that stuff. Business is up. We like that. You know, and prospects are up and feelings are good, match quality wise. I think, listen, people can argue it, people can point out years, but this is 2017 is absolutely in that conversation at the very least.
Two 6-star matches.
Yeah, at the very least, and again, we haven't even gotten through G1 in it with a lineup that on paper, oh, it looks fucking delicious.
Do you think that Omega versus Ibushi has 7-star potential? I think it does.
Listen, eventually we're going to tilt, right? Eventually it's just, you know, I think Meltzer had the best line is that, you know, eventually it'll be even better than what we're seeing. And how that will look, who knows? And I've even
on
said
the
it
moon.
Here. I mean, but I've said it here on this show. It's like, where do we go from here? Like, where do we fucking go? But they do it. And
the New Japan Mars territory.
Right. But I mean, what does it look like? How does it feel? What is, you know, here's the thing. I don't know where you go and I don't know where it leads us. But to me, I really feel like that the only way to go, like, you're not going to get 7. You know what I mean? Like, what does that even mean? Like, what does that even mean? But
I think Omega and Ibushi could do it.
I mean, listen, I think they'll have a fucking tremendous match. They've already had a match that has gone down in Japanese pro wrestling history as one of the best, you know,
from 2012.
Yeah. I mean, they're two talented guys. I mean, if anybody can have a great match, they're going to have it. I'm not going to throw 7 around. That's ridiculous. Six and a half. Okay. But I think whatever they bring to the table is going to be fantastic. And I am super hyped for this G1. I'm super fucking hyped for this G1. And I think there's plenty of room for surprises. And I think there's plenty of room for shit to go down that'll make us talk and scratch our heads and be excited and jump out of our chairs. Listen, again, as much as I was soured on Billy Gunn, Tanahashi, and Cody and Okada, You got to look at this G1, and if you're not super pumped over this, then I don't know what the fuck. I don't know.
You don't have a pulse.
Yeah. Honestly, you need to see a priest. You know, you need, you know, or a psychiatrist or somebody to help you out to get over this hurdle, because this is some sexy stuff. This is some fun stuff, and I'm really jacked.
Well, Damon, the first night of the G1 Climax starts Monday, July 17th, and you're going to be in Long Beach next weekend. We've got those shows coming up, and the two Kizuna Road shows this week, which will kind of be a nice little lead-in to Long Beach.
Yep, I'm excited. Look, we're in for a fun time. Again, the meetup on Saturday, right after the show. We're all going to head over to that. Was it congregation? I should really have this available, right? I should really have this information.
Congregation,
of course. How could I forget? They're taking care of us, kids. We're going to be there right after the show. There are going to be drink specials for us, the New Japan fans, from Reddit, the great Reddit group, the classic board, and
Damon,
of course,
I have a secret.
What's that?
This entire meetup is just one big intervention for you. That's actually what these shows are about. I got them to book these Long Beach shows so that this intervention could finally happen and we can save your life.
Well,
and save this show.
I'm having a poison video in Long Beach. That's what I got scheduled. I'm going to be CC DeVille rolling around on the floor in fucking eyeliner and glitter. It's going to be great. So we're going to have a great time. So that's right after the show. Listen, we got to give away 25 of these gift bags. And truth be told, I haven't really decided. I was talking to some of the boys on the Reddit group about how we could give these away. And we were thinking about a phrase that pays, or, you know, like, say the word and you get it. But honestly, I don't – listen, I got 25 of them. Come up to me. Be the first – one of the first 25 and get one of these gift bags. They're really cool. They have little magazines, little trinkets, all kinds of fun, little treats, some even Kit Kats in there they throw in. So we have those. I have some giveaways as well. I got a hoodie that I got from Gaijin Collectibles, tags. Again, haven't been worn, fresh, brand new. That I'm going to give away that. And again, we're going to party all night long. It's going to be a great time, great shows. Come up and see me. Make me smile. I'll see you guys in Long Beach for the G1 special.
All right, very good. And of course, if you can't be there in Long Beach next weekend, the first night will be broadcast live on Access TV Prime Time. They've got a five-hour time slot, no commercials. Good old JR and Josh Barnett on commentary. Mm-hmm. And yep. I believe that night 2 will be on New Japan World.
Correct. That is absolutely correct.
All right, so once again, we just want to thank each and every one of you for listening to the PuroCast each week. And, of course, we welcome all of your positive and negative comments. We love to interact with the fans and see what's on their minds, see if they agree with what we're peddling here, Damon. And, of course, gaijincollectibles.com, your number one source for all Japanese pro wrestling merch shipped. Not stripped, shipped straight to your door directly from Japan. So check them out. And, of course, NewJapanPuroCast.com, your one-stop shop for all things PuroCast. Episodes uploaded right on there. You can listen to it directly on the page, or you can also subscribe to our iTunes feed. We're on Stitcher. Plenty of ways to listen to the PuroCast, as well as the Great Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Check it out, VoicesOfWrestling.com, a show for every palate. So, Damon, any final words?
No. Listen, again, I will see everybody in Long Beach. I'm looking forward to meeting everyone. Please come up and say hi. Again, it's going to be a great time. We're really looking forward to it. Looking forward to the G1 Pick'em Pool Voices of Wrestling. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but you know that's right around the corner. That's always fun times. And I'll be taking over. I'll be hijacking the Twitter account and the Snapchat and the – oh, it's just going to be a blast on social media with Damon taking over. That's for sure.
Oh, boy. We're going to get a lot of complaints.
Oh, boo. All right. Well, you can field them. You're good. You're very, very very sound in putting out those fires. So you'll take care of all those fires I create.
Well, that is all for today, folks. On that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys next time to talk all about the G1 specials in Long Beach.